Oh my God. So episode 6, probably the one that most people are waiting for because everyone's asking us, aren't they? Who's David? Who's Kelly? What's Revival? So I think just to have you on, it's just amazing, David. So thank you for coming on because I know how much work I've done with you and it's just been absolutely life-changing. You're one of my closest friends and I've been there through the journey with you as well. And it's just, I feel it's going to be so empowering having you on. A lot of people are waiting for it and thank you for joining us, which I can imagine.
Well, I have been telling my Wiganese friends that you was coming on and I'm hoping they're all going to tune in and change their lives or do something. But yeah, I just wanted as well, obviously I did the retreat with you the other week and I just wanted to set a personal gratitude to you really to say thank you for the opportunity that you give to everybody, the opportunity for me for coming in, the impact it's had on my life in a matter of weeks, and I'm blessed to have met you all.
Yeah.
So I just wanted to say that just before we get going, not with causing any tears or anything. Yeah, I was but...
halfway through them thinking, geez, they didn't say they were going to do this. I could feel my stomach going.
Yeah. You just need to hear it sometimes, don't you?
Definitely.
That's such a good job and that it's something that people, it's available to anybody, isn't it? And it's just people knowing that it's here as well.
Yeah.
So,
and I think that's it because I don't think people realise how much support is actually so close to them in Kirby right now, and especially in a time when people are struggling as well, and especially with social media and everything. So I'm going to introduce you, obviously, a Kirby lads.
Yeah.
Literally successful business and then obviously Revival now. So let's delve in and how it all started. And I'll probably tell a little thing, actually, because me and David went to the Maldives and I was always quite spiritual. I didn't realise David was at the time and we went on the beach, didn't we, with this Buddha?
Yeah.
And we had Craig and Danielle sat at the beach bar taking the piss out of us.
Yeah.
But you've always been into it and everything, that really, that positive lifestyle. So it'd be gorgeous to let all viewers know how Revival come about.
Yeah, yeah. So for me, I think you're always, I always knew there was more inside, even as a kid. I always knew there was more for me, but I suppressed it that much. And it just years and years of suppression and not being who I truly wanted to be and who I felt like I could be. Mm-hmm. Through years and years of stuff that's gone on in the past and just led me to obviously illness. And for me, the biggest thing why I'm doing this work now is the start was through illness of just being, I always remember being, I just had a foot of my bowel removed and I remember being in the hospital during COVID and I remember looking around on the ward thinking, these are all old and I'm only young. What am I doing here? How have I got here? How's my life led me to this point? And it was tough anyway because it's a major operation. You've got no one to come and visit you because no one was allowed in because of COVID. I'm looking around thinking, and what I didn't know then, but on day three and day five after a major operation, you're an emotional wreck.
Yeah.
So I remember just sitting on the bed, just going, just sobbing, thinking, and the nurse came over and she went, "You're okay?" And I went, "I just can't stop crying." And she was like, "It's okay, it's normal." I was like, "Is it really?" She was like, "Yeah, it's normal. It's normal. Your body's been through a lot, and normally day three, day five." And I was like, "Oh, okay." And then I remember just turning to the side and I was on the fifth floor, and I remember just looking out into the sky, just going, "I can't do this no more."
Yeah.
And I was like, "I don't want to do this no more. I can't do this no more. But I don't know what I'm doing."
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? It's I haven't done nothing to get to this position. It's just being dealt for me this way. But I was I just don't want this life no more. I don't want to be ill. I don't want to, what can I do? So for me, that was the very start, but I didn't know that.
Yeah.
That was me asking, come on.
Help me.
Give us a shot here. Give us a chance. And ever since that moment, now I look back and think that was it. That was where it started.
Yeah.
That me asking something, the universe, the sky, just asking something inside of me to come up just to go, "I can't do this. Give us a touch, please."
Yeah, absolutely. Because obviously Crohn's disease is it's an illness. It's hard to live with anyway.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? So when you're diagnosed with that, was it did you understand the severity of it, Day?
Do you know, what? So for me, it was like, I just started losing weight rapid, yeah. And I've always trained since I was like 13, 14. I'd always like been a decent size. I was always strong. And then I got to like, I think it was 25, 26, my appendix. I went into hospital and they said it was my appendix.
Yeah.
Took my appendix out in an emergency operation. And then, because I always remember it was like 3 weeks before I got married to Dan, and Dan was like, we're not going to get married. And I was like, I'm crying. I'm literally in the hospital bed going, can't see because I'm on morphine. And she's going, we're meant to be getting married. And I'm like, oh. So they took my appendix out. And then while the next morning he woke me up and he said, your appendix were fine, but we whipped them out anyway. I was like, oh, cheers for that. Yeah, thanks for that. But they said your bowel was a bit inflamed and that was it. So off I went when I got married, not and then about 2 or 3 months later, just started like feeling like, wow, I can't even stand up properly. Yeah. Something's going on. I felt weird, felt dead weak, lost loads of weight. And then I went to the doctors and was like, we'll send you to the hospital. So they sent me to the hospital and they'd done the camera job.
Yeah.
Which is mortifying on its own. Never mind anything else.
1, 2, 3.
Any minute, and I always remember.
Keep your eyes on the screen.
Yeah, I always remember just like that. And the woman was there, she went, do you want me to hold your hand? I was like,
it's every man's nightmare.
You just got a gown and the back's missing out of it, and you think, is it windy anyway? So, and then when at that point when the consultant was doing the camera, she went, oh, you've got Crohn's. I was like, okay.
Thinking, what's that?
Well, yeah. So then you just give me a couple of leaflets and went, off you go. And I was like, okay. And then, so from that road, it was like medication.
Yeah.
Years. And I was like, then they wanted to put me on a drip where I come into the hospital every couple of days. I can't remember the name of it, and I was like, I've got to go to work, I need to work.
Yeah.
He was like, okay, we can give you something else where you do it yourself. So I was like, that's great, I work, I need to go to work. I don't want to, I'd seen my mum be a product of the NHS for a long time, mm-hmm. and how much it grips you and becomes like a lifestyle choice in the end.
Yeah.
Because it's like, I've got to be an appointment, I've got to do this, and then you become bound to this health service that's just, you're just there for hours. And I just didn't want to become a number. So I was like, right, just give me it. I'll do it myself at home. So I'd done that. And then just sort of cracked on. Mm-hmm. Same diet, same everything as normal. Because I was on medications. It was obviously, you sort of brought up thinking, right, well, if something wrong with you, take that and everything's okay.
Yeah.
So I was on that for about 3 or 4 years. I think I had one hospital visit, but managed okay.
Mm-hmm.
And then it gave me skin cancer. So I got cancer on the face, on my lip. And that again is another thing. Do you know what I mean? I think people, you know, no matter what cancer is, the word cancer, it just means death.
Yeah.
A lot of people relate, as in you hear that word, you think, that's it.
Yeah.
So for me, it's like when they say, always remember they took a biopsy. That was an ordeal because it was on my lip. It was like everything was right here.
Yeah.
So they took a biopsy and then they phoned me like the next day and was like, right, can you come in Sunday? And I'm thinking, I'm meant to be going to Reminisce here. Why am I coming in here Sunday? Do you know what I mean? That's what it was. I'm thinking, and then I thought about it and thought, right, so straight away in your head, you're thinking, right, the biopsy was like Wednesday. Do you want me in Sunday? Yeah, this is not good.
Yeah.
So went in on the Sunday and they bring you in and they tell you them words and you watch it on the films and you watch it on the telly, yeah, don't you? And you think, oh, I wonder what that's like. Well, I've lived that and it's like so surreal. Mm. And he's like, well, so basically, no one ever admitted it, but one of the major side effects of the Humira, the drug I was on, this was skin cancer.
Yeah.
So it was like, yeah, but it's one in like so many. Well, I was that one.
Yeah.
So they got me in the next week as well. So the skin cancer, they said they caught it early enough, which was luckily enough because it was one of them that would have grew.
Mm-hmm.
So they basically had to go in and because it was on my face, it was like reconstructive surgery. So they had to like take like 10 centimetres that way and then all the way down to there and then sew it all back together from inside out.
Wow.
Well, and again, everything's loads of stuff done now while you're awake. So like when you look, this fella's in my face doing it, and you can smell your skin burning. And, so that's what happened with the Crohn's, and it took me to that place. And then the like 6 months after that, through the stress of the cancer, I got a hole in my bowel, which then I had to go and have it removed.
Wow.
But so nothing's ever been simple in that respect, because even like, right, we're going to take your bowel out, it was like, okay, a foot, okay. Which, another thing, if it was where I am now, I wouldn't have done it.
Yeah.
100%. But part of me is still not happy that I went through that, but I'm okay with why I went through that, because I wouldn't be where I am right now.
And I think as well, back then, it is, you put the trust in the NHS, so you think they're telling me that I need to do this, so it's got to be 100% like accurate. I've got to do it because, you know, they're the professionals, when realistically, sometimes it's just to get you off a list.
It's that goes back to that suppression, no, because there were certain things I knew and I felt, but you just, you when you're not well, you got took the doctors and then you took what they told you to take. That's how what I was brought up.
Absolutely.
So it was like,
I think,
but you're like, I felt different, like, no, I shouldn't be doing this, but I need to go to work and I need all these pressures.
You just didn't trust that gut instinct that now you feel it, that's that kind of little bit of anxiety. They're going, that's my gut telling me that I shouldn't be doing it.
Yeah, but you're just, you know, we at the time, you're just in the rat race of life of, you know, I need to earn money, I need to go to work, I've got kids, I need to do this. So it's like almost the most important thing in your life, your health, you put at the back to get to certain other places. Absolutely. In your life.
Yeah.
Because would Sadie and Billy been along at this point as well?
So that was probably about 4 or 5 years ago.
Yeah.
Probably less, actually. Yeah.
So what job did you do before then?
I was a gas engineer.
I was a heating engineer,
yeah. Yeah. So, like,
so
I
was you
remember
like a not 9 till 5, so, but...
Yeah, like 6 till, like, 6, yeah. in a way. But I always remember, because when I was suffering with my stomach, I always remember this job, and I was going to the toilet loads, because, like, Crohn's, you just don't realise, but you're going, like, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 times a day. And I was like, what's going on? I don't know what's going on. I always remember being in this...
And it can, like, come on you like that.
Yeah, there's no warnings. Yeah. It's just like, whoa.
Temporary pants work.
Yeah. I always remember being in this house in Stoke doing a full eating system and having, like, the toilet door wouldn't open, it wouldn't shut. And I was like, and I always remember just sitting on the toilet and the customer was just going back past looking at me. And I was just like, I was at the place in my life where I was like in a bad way. My stomach was bad, and I just didn't care anymore because
nothing
like,
to see here.
Yeah, and she just said, like, the lads I was working with were just like, and I was like,
because Danielle was actually telling me while we were away, actually, that you went, because we were talking about gut health and everything, and she was telling me that you went to see someone in London over it as well. Like, what's her name? And you learned so much from that.
Yeah, yeah. So she was just like a natural, like, because when you go through that stuff, so from the hole in my bowel and then the getting the bowel out, it was at that point I was like, right, I ain't listening to these no more.
Yeah.
I'm done. Because I remember going back and then saying, no, it's not because of that. And then the next day, you know, when you're in for 5, 6 days and there's like 2, 3 different consultants on every day, one was telling me one thing and then the next one was saying, no, that's not because of that. And then the next day someone would come in and go, no, you've just been unlucky. Then the next day someone would go, no, it was definitely because of that. And I was like, so straight away I remember saying, well, I'm a heating engineer, and if someone's boiler had broke down, I could go to that job and say, it's this.
Yeah.
But then the next day, a heating engineer could go, same qualifications, and say, no, it's this. That they're doing that to my body.
Yeah.
To me. So it's like, I'm not in an opinion game, because this is my body, but you're in a position where you're listening to different people's opinions.
Yeah.
So who's right?
And you know when you start, because obviously you started to get into all this work, like, before you started Revival, and obviously I know you from a personal level, so I know there was childhood trauma there. Do you think that there was that triggered it, that energy that might have been in that area of your body that hadn't been released? And
so it's mad. So I meditated yesterday and had the greatest experience I've ever had meditating before, and I'm not a great meditation type of guy. Yeah. I just, that stillness, it was hard. But I've been doing it the last couple of weeks, and yesterday I done it here. And during it, I got this vision. It's like that I was at this hill and I'm at the top and my body's being at war with itself.
Wow.
for so long, and I didn't even know it.
Yeah.
But yesterday I felt I'm at the top of the hill. I'm on the way back down now. Yeah. And it was like, fuck. Oh.
You're all right. Yeah.
I never asked you, can we say? And I realised yesterday, I was like, I'm at the top of the hill now.
Yeah.
I've done the hard work and now I'm going down. And there's still going to be plenty of places to go and to get through. But I actually just had this vision of like, my body's been at war with itself for so long. So no wonder like all this has happened to my stomach, because from like a 2-year-old boy, from, you know, from a brand new baby coming into the world, and then my dad leaving, from then my granddad being my dad, looking after me, and then losing him when I was 11, from me trying to kill myself when I was 15, to then selling drugs, to then, like, you know, to all the health stuff, it's like, to losing my brother, it's just like,
there's how much more can I take?
There's a load of in there. So was I always going to get like some kind of stomach disease? Probably, because my body was just like always, my nervous system was shot from such a young age. I think a lot for me goes back to losing my granddad when I was 11, because he was like, he was my dad. Yeah. He was the one who brought me up. So when he walked, and like even now, I just, you go back to that moment where I remember him walking out the door like it was yesterday, but he never come back. And it, like, when you're an 11-year-old boy and he's your dad, and you're like, and no one really, everyone's dealing with turmoil at that time. So, and we were living, I was living with my nan and granddad, with my mum. So that for me was a massive, massive part of where it all started from for me.
And you kind of start to suppress them feelings then, because you don't know what's going on. You don't know how to internalise them. And you're just like, whoa, what's going on here? Do you get what I mean?
And from that point, you know, because we live with my nan and granddad, me and my mum, then from that point then, when I was 12, we moved into a pub, me and my mum. So then it's like I lost being a little boy. So I went from losing my dad as like a little boy to then being a man.
Yeah.
By 13, I had to be a man because my mum had no one. It was just me and her.
Yeah.
So I then went to a place of getting brought up, and like I loved it.
Yeah.
Looking back, I loved it, and it's made me be successful the way I am right now.
Give you that drive, because you knew what, when you're in a situation like that, isn't it? It's like, I can't be how I was when I was younger, so I've got to change.
Got to change.
And then sometimes you become overdriven. This is what we were talking about, didn't we? On a couple of posts, you become overdriven, and then the little things then don't kind of mean anything. It's like, no, I've got to get to this point. And I think you said it in one of the breath classes, you know, when you were younger, you always wanted to be successful as a footballer or an actress and that. And then when you start doing this work, you think, why did I put all that pressure on myself?
Yeah. Well, my success came from not being held or seen.
Yeah.
Because I, I'm going to show yous.
Yeah.
I'm going to show yous what I can do.
Sims. Exactly me, that.
That's it.
That's why I said that comment as well before, isn't it? You can see it on Sunday, can't you?
And that's as well, isn't it? Because like you've just said, like you become the man. And then obviously Liam wouldn't have come along much longer. Then you were very much a father figure to Liam as well, wasn't you? So then it kind of then, you're growing up. Having you basically everyone, you need to make sure everyone's okay around you.
Yeah, you become a protector.
Yeah.
Because your mum's, it's just you and your mum.
Mm-hmm.
Then you're in an environment where there's like drink, drugs, affairs. It's like, it's an adult environment, but I was a child, innit? And like at the time it was good, but you become like, you know, if someone spoke to me, I'm like, crap, I'd be hitting them over there with a pill cue. I was 13,
14, absolutely,
do you know what I mean? And it's like, and you're still a kid. You still should be doing kid stuff.
Yeah.
Still should be riding your bike, really.
You're protecting her, aren't you? It's your mum at the end of the day, and that's it. When you're thrown into that, it's like you're having to grow up super, super fast.
You're having to grow up, and then obviously Liam come along, and I think it was like 14 years between us. So it was like then, you're almost like a dad / brother / son / protector, and you're still a kid.
Yeah.
So there was a lot of stuff there that, like, as well, and that's what took me to a dark place, really, then. That's what took me to that place of, like, not wanting to be here no more, because my mum had, like, relationships back then, you know, that weren't healthy.
Mm-hmm.
And But obviously, through the work I've done now, I now know she was suffering with losing her dad.
Yeah.
But at the time, she just didn't have that time for me. She'd done everything for me, but, you know, kids just want you to be there and know that they're safe and, yeah, and you're okay.
Yeah.
They just want to feel okay.
Where she was trying to be probably mum and dad to you and then kind of grieving as well, wasn't she?
She was trying to be mum. She was trying to be a landlady of a pub. She was trying to have her own relationship around people who weren't good.
Yeah.
And I just sort of got lost in that. Got lost, got like, not unwanted, but more of, it felt for me like I was more of a hindrance.
Yeah.
By not being seen. I wasn't a bad kid, I was a good kid. But I just didn't get seen or held. And like, she probably looked at me as like a grown man, but I was still like a boy.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? I still like, I've grew up like, the loss I had with my granddad when I was 11, it's just like, if my granddad would have made it for me to 18, I wouldn't
been
have gone through this stuff.
Completely different. Yeah. No, and that's...
It just wouldn't have been this way, but that's also okay.
Yeah.
Because you wouldn't be here today, would you?
It's made you the person that you are as well today, Dave, because I always say, do you know what, to kind of be so like awake and like at peace with yourself, you've got to go through something.
Yeah.
And I think sometimes I always say it's your test of your character. God's just testing your character when you're younger and he's just seeing now, what can I throw at you? What person you're going to become? Mm-hmm. And I think when you start to kind of look back, you think, do you know what? I'm glad I was tested.
Yeah. Yeah. There's a lot of different ways around it. There's ways where you think, this was meant for me, this was meant to happen. Yeah. But the choices, you still have a lot of choice in them situations.
Yeah.
So it's like we were talking about before with the side of the story. It's like, do you believe your story or do you break free from it and change it?
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Because I've only just worked that out 2 weeks ago and it was massive for me.
Yeah.
But yeah, like that, growing up in the pub and stuff, it was great because it made me successful. But it made me money orientated, I should have said, really, rather than a successful. My success has come from my pain.
Yeah.
Yeah, because like, even if I go back to when I was 15 and, you know, I tried to like take my own life, like that is, you know, I still struggle with that now because what people don't realize around that is once you've gone to that place, it's not so much trying to do it. It's
quite
the thoughts,
thoughts
that get you to that point.
Yeah.
That's what people don't understand. You don't just wake up one day and think, right, I'm going to do this. Well, I didn't anyway, but it's the thoughts that get you to that point where you just think, right, I'm better off not being here. And that takes a long time to get to that point because it takes loads of things you don't feel or get seen or get heard. It takes...
And that's what's sad, isn't it, about it? Because I think just even you just saying that is going to help so many people because male suicide is so high now at the moment and they don't realise there's so much support.
Mm-hmm.
And like yourself, like to be telling people that, even just come here and speak to someone. Yeah.
I didn't have no one then. Yeah. You know what I mean? I had my mum, but I didn't have my mum. And I didn't have anyone else then. So we went from like a dead tight-knit family when my granddad was there with aunties and uncles to then being in the pub, but it was never like no one had no time.
Mm-hmm.
And because I was with my mum, it was just like, and I was living in a pub, it was just busy. But like, I always remember it because I come home from school and I wouldn't go home.
Yeah.
I just wouldn't go home. I'd just walk around because when I went home, there was nothing there for me.
Yeah.
It was like, and I just used to walk the streets. I always remember to my mates and I'd say, you do one more lap with me. And he'd be like, why? And I just don't want to go home. And then when I finally tried to do it, I didn't always remember I took like so many tablets and then went to school.
Oh.
So it was like, I tried to do it, but I didn't try and do it.
Yeah.
But you're also not knowing if that's good. When you're like 13, 14, think if I do this, that's it.
Yeah.
But I went to school anyway. And then in the end, I think I told someone while I was in school because I started like feeling like really bad. Yeah. And thought, right, I better tell somebody. It all about
it.
Wasn't a mass
flash like that. Mouth to mouth.
So I told someone and then obviously it comes like, but nothing really changed.
Yeah.
Nothing really changed. But, you know, it's something I struggle with now because like, when Liam died or when bad things have gone for me since that, it always takes me back to that position. And then I've worked out myself, and I said this to Kelly not so long ago. I was like, when something bad happens to me, it's obviously natural to take me back to that low point.
Yeah.
And that low point for me was, right, this is it. This is the end.
Yeah.
So it always takes me there. And I remember doing work with Kelly, and I was like, why do I wanna kill myself? Why does it take me to that point where I wanna kill myself? And she was like, okay. So we done loads of work, and it was like, well, if I have gone that low, then when something bad happens, then it's low, so it's going to take me back to that low point.
Yeah.
Because I've already gone to the lowest point. So it's not going to take me to the step above that. It's going to take me right back there to question him whether I want to be here. So I was like, okay. And she was like, and obviously I didn't ever want to, I wanted to be here.
Yeah.
I've always wanted to be here. But when we worked through that, it was like, there was just a feeling around it as like, right, hold on, well, I'm not my thoughts.
Yeah.
So even though them thoughts come up, doesn't mean I have to act on them.
Yeah.
Can I just sit with them and then think, right, why am I here? And just sit with it rather than think, right, suppress it, don't talk about it, don't do this. Actually, I'd then go back to that point and I'd sit there and go, okay, so I'm here. Let's look into it. Why am I here? Rather than think of like, well, I'm here. Am I going to do it?
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? So I'd go back to that position and then think, well, why am I here? Is it okay for me to be here? Yeah, it is. Because you've already been here before, so that's why it took you there. So why do you feel so low? Is there a reason? And then go, like, navigating through that.
Yeah.
And then knowing that every feeling is temporary.
Yeah.
It can't last because it's temporary.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, like, the next day will be better. The next hour might be better. The next 10 minutes might be better.
Yeah.
So it's always just like, knowing that is a temporary feeling and it's not going to last forever. And if you can talk to someone, which anyone can talk, as soon as you talk and it comes out your mouth, it's like, right, I've lent that to someone else, and it just eases. But for me, it was like, the big thing for me was like, right, I don't have to actually act on my thoughts.
Yeah.
They're just thoughts.
Because you always say you have a good example with Walter with this, don't you?
Yeah.
Kind of like whenever Walter has like a little meltdown or anything, you'll get to his level and you'll just let him ride it out. Whereas a lot of parents, because we're not kind of conscious, will say, get up, you know, you're embarrassing me, do this, not realising that they just need to go through that motion. I think it's quite powerful when you said that, wasn't it? You know,
just lie on the floor in shopping centres, kicking and screaming with them. And then you're thinking, mum, I'm stupid, must you elute? But it's real. I've done it with our job since that. If he screams, I'll scream. And if he throws his remote, I'll throw it remote. And he's looking at me, he's up and say, are you all right?
Yeah.
And I said, that's what you look like, lad.
Yeah.
And it does help, doesn't it?
Yeah.
And it is true. It's saying, you just have to always bring it back to your heart space and think, okay, I'm feeling it for a reason, just let it go.
Let it go. And why do we want to suppress?
Yeah.
So if we're teaching our kids early age, get up, stop crying, you're suppressing them.
Yeah.
Straight away, and it's only small suppression, but over time and time and time, you're actually telling them not to like show up the way they're showing up at that moment, and then with suppression.
Yeah.
And where does that lead to?
Absolutely. And it's
who knows?
And emotions are normal, aren't they? Like I always say this is a big thing for me. If somebody's upset, I'll say, it's all right, be upset.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I feel that people think being upset is a bad thing.
Mm-hmm.
And the majority of the time, you're probably upset because of a bad situation that's happened. Mm-hmm. But I think if you just be upset in that moment, like, and let it be, then you can move on from it. Whereas if you hold it in, probably a week after, something will trigger that emotion again and you'll cry anyway.
Yeah.
So just cry in the moment. And
you end up just bubbling and bubbling and bubbling, don't you? It just keeps... I know before I started all this work, I was in Dubai with Day, and I was a nervous wreck. It was just fight or flight constantly because I'd just been laden it up. And then I think I come and did the first breath work and it looked like I'd had an exorcism on the mat. I was like, it's powerful, isn't it, when you just let them emotions out.
But I also say, we've been given everything we need in our body. So, why is your body designed to cry? To make you feel better.
Yeah.
But yet we hold it back.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know what I mean?
True,
we hold our tears back, but after you've cried, you feel amazing.
Yeah, absolutely.
So it's like, we've been given everything in this physical body to deal with everything we possibly can. Yeah, we as humans hold on to everything we possibly can and not show it. And I don't think that was always the case, but over time, it's become layered upon layered upon layered, and it just gets tighter and tighter and tighter.
Did you find day when like you was in that situation when you're like 15 in your teens, was you quite cold? Not saying you're not cold because I know how an emotional person you are, but did you show emotion or was it just cut off completely?
Yeah. I was just like that 14, 15 year old boy that was like wanted to be everyone to like him and everything to be okay. So there was no emotion.
Mm-hmm.
There was no emotion. There was probably emotion on my own, like times, like not crying though, but just like, what's this feeling?
Because you didn't understand it so much as, of course.
So there was loads of that, loads of time on your own where you just think, right, something's not right, but nowhere to turn, nowhere to go, no one to talk to actually bring it to the surface. I did have counselling after that with, like, obviously the school and stuff, but, yeah.
I think mental health and kind of trauma back then just wasn't seen, was it, as well? So I think when it was happening, schools didn't know how to react.
Well, you're also back in that system as well, aren't you, with someone else telling you, like, how you should be.
Yeah,
actually, it's like Kelly's thing. Everyone just wants to be seen, held and loved.
Yeah.
That's it.
Yeah.
And if I can do that to you and do that to you,
yeah,
it's so powerful.
Because I know, obviously, like, you're coming up to 20 years, you and Dan. Yeah. So literally, which is just beautiful because I just don't feel like you find that nowadays. So, because obviously you met Dan quite young. So did she kind of change that feeling for you? Obviously, it was just like, oh my God, this is love, or like, what was that? Because
so for me now, like, I think sometimes I would, like, in an ideal world, you'd love your kids to wake up in a conscious state, to grow up in a conscious state and actually attract someone in the same conscious awareness.
Mm-hmm.
But actually, like, from like what where we've grew up, you'd end up growing up and attracting through like what you've been through, rather than being like, I wasn't open as a person or a human going into relationships. I was always closed because I'd been through so much. So I didn't even know how to love Dan.
Yeah.
I think I've only just started loving Dan in the last couple of years.
Yeah.
Because I didn't know what love was.
Yeah.
I didn't feel love.
Yeah.
And that's not like, I'm not, if my mum's watching, that's not having a go. It's just like my mum had her stuff.
It's what you thought was love.
Exactly.
And that's it, isn't it? It's like you just thought this is love and this is kind of, whereas now you realise, oh my God, it's a completely different love I've got for Dan. Like,
yeah, it feels like, especially in the last 2 years, especially since losing Liam, it feels like, wow, it's like we're getting married again.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? It's like, this is love.
Yeah.
This is like that connection and that, like, me being able to actually speak to her and hold her and her being able to hold me, because we didn't have that.
Yeah.
You're just young and you've been both brought up through, you know, difficult circumstances and good ones. No one's saying it's really bad, but like when you haven't been, like when you've held all that stuff in and then you go meet someone and then you're trying to, like I always say, this example is like when you're going into relationships, you should take all the good stuff from your house, put it on the table, and they take all their good stuff from their house that they wanted, put it on the table. And both of you leave your bad stuff behind and then build an house together on your good stuff. But we take everything.
Yeah.
Because it's like, it's been our story.
Yeah. And that's and it. Isn't when we said it backwards.
Yeah.
It's kind of, you forget the bad points. But like you say, you go in with the
You're going in with all your bags. Do you know what I mean? And like, you're going in with your bags. She's going in with her bags. And then you want her to live your life the way you want. And she wants you to live hers. And you're like, we're actually not building our home here. We're building a mess.
Yeah.
Because of we took all the stuff that we've grew up with and took it in. And you think, wow.
I mean, I was there at the whole Liam, and I'd seen how low you went, DJ. Yeah. I mean, for a friend, it was hard to watch. Yeah. And, you know, and just to see, like, that you're built now on vulnerability because, like, such a, like, a situation that's so traumatic and so sad what happened, bring you back into that softness.
Yeah.
Just think to yourself, like, wow, like, life just throws curveballs, doesn't it?
It does, but it's a choice.
Yeah.
That's so in the darkest times are the greatest gifts.
Mm-hmm.
If you choose to make them a gift. Some people can't meet the pain and make it a gift. Some people can't, and that's no disrespect to them. They just can't face it.
Yeah.
But I knew, like, straight after that, I was like, there's a gift in this. with Andy. Like that first couple of weeks, I remember Andy and Luke coming and spending some time with me and was like, come on, we'll go for a walk.
Mm-hmm.
I hadn't been out the house for weeks because, you know, you're not dealing with losing with someone, you're dealing with the whole scenario of how and it drags out and police circumstances. You know, it's an absolute mess. It's like the worst thing to go through. But I always remember going on a walk, and I was close to him anyway, and he went, mate, I'm going to say something to you, and I know I can say this because we're close and you're not going to think I'm out of order. He said, but there'll be a gift in this, and I know you can't see it right now, but there's a gift in this. And I had respect for him, so I didn't say, fuck off. Do you know what I mean? It was like, I was just numb, and I was like, okay. And the gift now to this is like, Liam's helping so many people through Revival that if that never happened, it wouldn't be here today. Revival would not be here if I hadn't lost Liam. So it's like, again, that choice of, right, I'm going to make this a gift. And don't get me wrong, if someone said to me right now, well, would you swap it all? Well, I love you girls, but I don't.
Absolutely. I'd rather have your brother, do you know what I mean?
Yeah, do you know what I mean? But again, it's happened.
Yeah.
What are we going to do? Are we going to turn this into a gift? And that for me, like, I was already on this like journey of myself, but it just levels again. And I'm still not where I want to be, but it's just like, you know, no one can. I live life now for moments,
mm-hmm.
I'm not trying to get anywhere no more.
Yeah.
I was always trying to get somewhere because of the journey I'd had before that.
Yeah.
I always thought you get a feeling in life that you're successful for where you live, what car you drive, and how much money you've got.
It's social media, isn't it? It's like kind of,
Even when you go back as far as a kid, when neighbours would be like, well, we're building a wall, next door, build a better wall.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
Just keep up with the Joneses constantly,
even stuff like that. So for me, it was like, right, that, and my success came from me, like, I'm going to show everyone, because I was on my own. I was like, lived on my own when I was 17, 18.
Yeah.
I was like, no one there for me. So I was like, I'm going to fucking show you.
Yeah.
I'm going to show you what I can do. But actually, that was, I just wanted a hug.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? I just wanted to be loved.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I just wanted someone to hold me and say, it's okay.
Yeah.
You know what
I mean?
You
don't need to do all this and put so much pressure.
Yeah, and the biggest realisation was like when I got to that house that I thought that this is the dream. And I remember getting there and going, and it was empty.
Yeah.
There was nothing there. And I was like, shit, I'm going to have to put a bigger target in them. And I was like, well, no. And it was at that point, it was like, well, hold on. I've got to where I think everything was going to be better, and it's not better.
Yeah.
And then I was thinking, right, maybe, and it was at that point, and then, you know, a lot had happened around that part. There was a lot of spiritual stuff happened. I'd been to Glastonbury for a week, I'd done a 7-month breathwork journey, and a lot of was moving, and my whole life changed around then. Yeah. And I always remember I started seeing owls. After when I come back from Glastonbury,
did start this before Liam.
Yeah, before, yeah. It was like 2 years before I lost Liam, but that's where I met Kelly, on a breathwork course. And it was like, I had the most crazy experience in breathwork that like I've been through. When I breathe, because of the stuff I've been through, potentially, it's like, it can be horrific.
I think people don't realise.
I was next to him. Nick's going to think I'm on a bend.
I was like, Burn, I'm thinking, just keep your eyes closed. Just keep breathing. And I was like, I was getting upset.
Yeah.
Thinking
I was getting upset.
What you'd been through to do that. Do you know what I mean? Because I was new to it, wasn't I?
Yeah.
I think I seen that as well. But I think because I knew you'd been asked to get on the mat and you were so resilient. And I remember saying to Dan, his vulnerability will just make this place grow even more and more. So I think you're a bit reluctant the first day when you got on that second day. I think everyone just like the hearts just opened up more and more.
For me, it's always because for what I've gone through on the mat, I feel like I could scare people or it can make people worry. But it's just the way my body and what I've been through that it holds on to so much. And so it was, my vulnerability is like, I'm open and honest, but yeah. like at that time as well, I was struggling, was fighting something, and I yeah. didn't know what I was fighting. But yeah, so I always remember thinking, Nick's going to think, oh my God.
What is actually going on in this room for one? No one told me you didn't really want to do it, and I'm on Matt's side here. But like I say, I just kept getting upset. And then it was in the afternoon, actually, the afternoon one that you came and stood outside of me and said, are you all right?
Yeah.
And I was like, I can't do it. Like, I feel like I can't get this rhythm of this breath work going because I was too concerning myself with everybody else around me. So then in that one, because I knew you were there and you was helping me through it, I felt like that really worked. So then when we did the last one,
yeah,
the day after when we was me and you together, I felt like that was the bit for me
yeah.
that I felt, oh, my God, I love it.
Mm. Yeah, I understand it a little bit. Yeah. It's a hard process to understand because people go, well, I don't know what it is and yeah. what I'm doing, but they don't realise just connecting.
You just said something that, like, really the gift in it is what you said is, you've never been in that room before where you were in total strangers. And then when I was going through that, and this is the connection part that people don't get, rather than you trying to judge me, you thought, wow, what's he been through to be to do that? Do you know? And anywhere else outside of that room, you'd be judged on how you're showing up.
Yeah.
But at that moment, you're like, wow, what's he been through to be like that?
Yeah. That's all I was thinking all the way through it. And then, like, for me, I always think, wow, like, I've obviously not been through so much trauma. Mm. I even went home and was talking to my mum and dad, like, mum, about my childhood, because I was saying, I don't feel like I've had a traumatic childhood. My childhood was great. But then the more we got chatting, the more I was like, so my dad loved going out on a weekend having a drink and my mum would take us Morris dancing and then he'd come home and I'd be scared to death of him coming in drunk because I knew that there was going to either be an argument, he'd be fighting with alarm, he'd bring his kebab in and it was calling kebab a slag, you name it, he did it. And it's not like that now, but even just that in itself, for me, I know it's only very minute trauma, but like...
It's big, yeah.
Him and my mum would argue a lot, so I always thought that was the norm. So then I'm telling my mum this after the retreat and she's like, sat in care, yeah. And she went, so then that makes me question if I did the right thing by staying in a relationship with your dad. And I was like, oh, I'm opening a can of worms. And I was like, no, it's not on you. They're still together now, by the way. Yeah. It's just I've grown. As I've got older, I've changed the way I wanted to live my life. And I went into relationships and I've had children in them relationships that was toxic because I just thought, arguing and being the narcissist of the relationship, which I'll openly say now, that was all I ever knew. So then to come out of that, to be put with Andrew and with now, who does all this anyway, thought, this is crazy. It's a crazy life to live.
Come in and throw KFCs at a fella's heads no more.
No, and it's so terrible. Like, it's not a nice way to live, is it? But that, to me, was normal.
Yeah, and that's it. It's like, it doesn't have to be a traumatic experience sometimes. It's like, it's what happens in the body when you go through anything like that. It's how you take it.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? It doesn't, we don't get into like a trauma competition. Well, yours is bigger than mine because it's not. It's what happened to you at that moment. And sometimes it's not what happened to you. It's what not never happened for you in them moments. That can be just as big. And, you know, people get lost on the word trauma, and sometimes people say it's too much trauma, breathwork and stuff. But the magic about breathwork, it just gives you what you need there and then. So if that is a if it brings stuff up, it was meant to be that way. And then you get the choice to either keep meeting that or then go back to your life going, it's too much trauma for me now. It's not for me. Yeah.
Do you know what's always funny? And you've just kind of hit the nail on the head for me, because sometimes I'll be in a breathwork class and I'll be all right, I'll be breathing. I mean, I've laid next to you many times, haven't I? But even like when you were going through that really like big kind of experience on the mat, my body will start to shake or I'll feel it starting to come up. And I'm thinking, is this mine? Isn't that mine? Do you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. But I'll literally start convulsing when someone else, and it's energy, isn't it? Again, in that room, that must be bodies are just connecting with energy.
Yeah.
Because then I'll start sobbing because I know you're really upset and it's...
But you are that type of person that always puts other people before you.
Yeah.
And until we really meet that every single time of like, it's just me.
Yeah.
then we're always gonna get in our head and think, oh, I'm upset for them or that. You've always, because of the way you
grew up, you're
always trying to make sure everyone else is okay.
Yeah.
So anything time something happens, it's like, no, theirs is more important, or they're not okay, I need to look after them. Or we're actually, the more we work in that and we soften into you, that's where it's going to be.
Because people don't realise it's layers, isn't it? So many layers. And I remember sat there once and you were saying to me, just like, it's peeling the onion back. Yeah. It's one bit, what by one bit, because it just goes so deep.
It is. And that's what I'm saying. It's just about meeting it.
Yeah.
Meet the moment and that's it. They don't like get too lost in like, oh, it's too much trauma. Because we done a breath work on Wednesday and the guy hadn't been for a while. And he was like, do you know what? That was amazing. It was just dead blissful.
Yeah.
And it doesn't like... I always find that the people, when they say, oh, it's too much trauma, it's like they're just not ready at that moment to meet it. And is that okay? Of course. Because everyone's at different stages and sometimes they're not ready to meet that pain.
Yeah.
But just know that for us to actually get to the truly core person of who we want to be without no suppression and with love and with like happiness from it in here, we have to go through it.
Yeah, you've got to go deep and that's it, isn't it? Yeah,
you have to go through it. And, you know, you also get to the point where you think, well, enough's happened. That's it now, nothing's going to happen. And then you get something, something and you think...
So can I ask you then, because I feel like maybe this is something that listeners will think, with breath work, even if you don't feel like you've got any trauma and maybe you've already been, like for me now, say I've already been and I do feel like what I didn't think I had trauma actually did come and I've spoke about it and now I feel like I can like accept and put it to bed. So then since the retreat, I've not had anything come up yet. So if I wanted to continue doing breath work, it can still be a good experience, not necessarily trauma as such.
Yeah.
So people don't need to think, right, well, I have no trauma, so I don't need to do it or I can't do it. Even if they want to try it, you can still try it. Regardless to your traumas as such. I feel like people do link breathwork to trauma, don't
they? And sometimes it's easy that way for them not to meet it because then they think, nah, it's too much trauma for me and they're just not ready to go through that. But it's just knowing that, like, if you want to get to this truly place and be connected to your body and know more of, like, the way you've been showing up, then we may have to go through. Like, when we say the good things is, like, every time I go through an experience, it's like it beats me up.
Yeah.
I feel terrible, but it's like, right, I had to go through that to get to this bit. So it's a good experience because if we don't meet the bad, we're not going to get the good.
Yeah, no, do you know what I mean?
If something feels good every time we do it, then we're not really going to value it from a place of like, you know, if something's easy to get, we don't value. But if we want to do the work, like you don't go to the gym and after one session get the results you want, you'd have to keep going.
Yeah.
But then when it's like that, when you have to go through your stuff, people can sometimes think, I'm not ready for this.
And I think as well, it can literally turn your life upside down. Like things that you thought were so aligned to you, you start doing this work and you're just like, whoa, I've been in this situation or that situation and I've just been blind.
You doubt everything.
Yeah. Then everything comes awake and bright and you're like, oh, fuck,
just
I don't
live on
like
your
this.
Own. Yeah.
I remember coming home thinking, do I even want to be with you? And just, you know, when you're just sitting there and you're looking and she's going, what's up? And you're going, nothing. And then when Dan got into the work,
she was the same.
And, but obviously, because I'd been through, I was like, it's okay, Dan. She was like, what do you mean? It's okay. I said, who do you want to be with? I was like, no, I'm just okay where you're at. She went, yeah, but it's not okay. And I was like, no, but I'm just saying, no stress.
Yeah.
If you get through this and then you actually say to me, you're not for me, then I'm at a place where I'm like happy for you because that's right. Like, why are we trying to be together if we're not really meant to be together?
Yeah.
Like, how crazy is that, by the way? People can go 40, 50 years of being in a relationship, but they were never meant to be in.
Yeah.
No.
On a soul level.
Like, it wasn't their path.
No,
like,
they were never there.
And I feel like you always know when it is because the body will tell you that.
Yeah.
The body will always be fighting or the universe will be putting things in place to say, look.
Keep slapping your right face. I always say that, don't I? It'll just keep coming back
and,
on you.
And you'll push to the side. You know, we've had people coming here and do breathwork and then they'll say, yeah, I'm not going to come back because I'm actually all right in my life right now. Yeah. And I'll see you and I'll go, oh, okay, no problem.
See you next week.
But what it's doing, it's bringing stuff up to the surface that they're uncomfortable with meeting. So yeah, they'd rather go back to the way it was. But there's no going back.
Yeah.
And, you know, once you connect to your body a little bit and you feel like, oh, I this is the feeling. It's like, I'm in here. I want to be in here. This is me.
Yeah.
It's like when something traumatic happens to you. You know, we could both break our arm now, right? And we'll have the same injury, but it'll hit us differently emotionally. Because, like, say there's 9 billion people in the world, only you feel the way you feel at that time. No one else gets your feelings.
Yeah.
But it's the same injury.
Yeah.
It's the same broken arm, but I feel different to what you do. No one feels the way I do, because I'm the only person in this world that feels this way, because I'm me. It's like when you think like that, you think, okay, so I am, like, my feelings are warranted because there's no one else like me in the world.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But it's like the same injury, but it's a different feeling.
So do you think, even though you've just got me thinking now.
Yeah, see the way you looked at me thinking.
So, emotions then. Well, yeah, because I always, it is something that I've asked people in the past. So your perception of love is going to be different to my perception of love.
Yeah, yeah.
So, right, let me just clarify something. Is this grey to you? Yeah. So things like that, we still see the same.
Yeah, yeah.
But it's how you feel that it's feels feel. Different.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah. And that's what makes you who you are.
And you know what's lovely about that? Because it's true. When we talk about the Crohn's and keeping on to that feeling, that trauma, what it can create. Because I remember being on the mat with his once, and whenever I'd start breathing, I'd hear the breath. And the breath was the breath of my mum passing. And I'd breathe, and it was just like this, I could feel it. And I remember it was weeks and weeks, you'd be like, let it go, let it go, let it go. And we finally let it go. And I mean, I had a full-blown panic attack on that mat, didn't I? And I think it was because I was just safe in the place, but I'd never had a panic attack in my life. But now when I look back, I think if I wouldn't have let that go, imagine what that would have bred in my body.
You were holding it?
Yeah.
So it's like animals in the wild, in the like safaris and that, if they're getting hunted down, and say a lion's chasing something, but then it gets away, it'll go in a bush and then shake for 10 minutes and it'll get that trauma gone, like that adrenaline and everything. But us as humans just go, it's all inside of us. Then it's on top of us being us, who we truly are meant to be, in a core level, at our soul level. It's all on top. Yeah. So like, how could we show up the way we really wanted to show up on a cellular level in here? Yeah. Like, how could you do that with all that stuff on top? So breathwork's amazing. It's just a tool though.
Yeah.
You still need to do the other stuff. It's just a tool to start moving stuff, because otherwise if you just do breathwork, you're just going to move stuff and it's just going to be like a washing machine constantly.
Yeah.
And it's not a great place to be when it keeps just moving, moving, moving around. So that's why Kelly's work is so special. Yeah. It's like, you know, if you just said to me 4 or 5 years ago, if you go on a Zoom call and I'd go, no.
Yeah.
But by someone just navigating you through your body, I've had the greatest experience on a Zoom call with Kelly.
She's powerful, isn't she? Like, so powerful when you kind of... But it's even when you start to do this work and you start to realise everything is just energy and feeling, like, you know yourself, if you meet someone, you get that, butterflies. And it's like, again, it's energy, and it's good energy that should be flowing. And it all you start to then kind of piece things together with, like, how to navigate through life.
And it's also, like... You know, when you've lost people, like for me, when I lost Liam, it allowed me to go deeper and deeper and deeper. But it was still a choice.
Yeah.
You know, some people in my position that have gone, I just hit the ale. Mm-hmm. Some people, like, will not face it.
Mm-hmm.
I knew at the start, I've got to meet this. And Kelly was like, you've got a choice here to meet this or just keep showing up the way you are. And I was like, I can't. I need to meet this. So I knew early on I was meeting it, and I still went through like hell, but I had to meet her. I had to, you know, so when obviously Liam died in a car crash, and it's like, it was like, well, I'm his big brother. I couldn't be there to help him.
Yeah.
And then I took that on me. I'd let him down. And it was like, that's just a story. Cause it was physically impossible for me to be there.
Yeah.
Because I couldn't. No one knew that was going to happen. It was instant.
Yeah.
No one knew. So I was like, but I told myself a story. Well, I'm his brother. And it was like working through them layers every time they come up, to the point of like going to, like, being in the car,
yeah,
getting to a place where I was in the car with him, and like the work Kelly done around that, it was like, pfft, it's just unbelievable, because it turns the bad stuff. It doesn't make them better, but it makes you, like, it makes the layer unfold rather than get more sticky and more, like, adding layers on top of it then, because I'm in no control over that situation, but I started blaming myself.
Yeah.
But it's like, if I don't undo them layers, I start putting more on, because your mind is great at making you feel worse about the situations.
It's your worst enemy, isn't it? The mind is like the devil, and there's that book that we talk about, isn't it? And The Untethered Soul, and there's a good part of it where it says, you wouldn't allow someone to sit next to you and watch telly just like that in your ear, giving you absolute negative thoughts. But we do it. We sit there, we'll drive, someone will come in our head, that person must think this because I've not replied. And it's just our thoughts.
And then I done some work after that workshop with Kelly in this room, actually, funny enough.
Mm.
And it was like, what was massive for me is, like, I'm not my story.
Yeah.
But I was. And that was big for the nerve, because when we went through the thing and she put it on me, and I'm like, and it's like, I could talk for 3-4 minutes easy about the bad stuff that happened to me.
Yeah.
But when she asked me about the good stuff, I had nothing to say. So I'd become my story.
Yeah.
I'd become all the shit. And it was like, so I'd become it. Yeah. And then I remember sitting in here with her, and she was like, I said, why? And she's like, oh, so tell me what you're thinking. And I said, well, I always feel like I'll drive on the motorway and say, if I crash my car and end up in a coma, then I'm going to show up even better. And she was like, wow. And it's like, my mind's telling me I need to go through more stuff
to feel again.
Yeah. So there's parts of that layers on that. One of the layers is obviously the success thing, is like, right, I'm going to show you. So again, I'm trying to knock myself down 3-5, knock myself down to death nearly to come back up. It's like, how weird, how controlling and mad is that in your head?
The mind, yeah.
But that's just the stories of where I've come from. And when we went into that, I was like, wow. So if I capture them stories and acknowledge them and go, nah, not no more. And it's like what you were saying before we started this about that.
Yeah.
And it's like, it is actually, you'll just keep bringing it on.
Yeah.
Until it's like, well, look what I've given you.
Yeah.
And you still didn't realise. It's like, how many stuff can happen to you, and then you get to your deathbed at the end and go, why? Like, and you've got ghosts around your bed, and then you say, well, I sent you that message, you never got it. Then I sent you that one. Then I sent you that one. You think, wow, I've seen them all and never changed.
Yeah. So do you think this work? I'm murder for picking things apart. So like, this work.
Sounds like Oscar.
Do you think there's actually anybody who has actually started this work because they've not had some sort of trauma?
Yeah, definitely.
Do you know what I mean? I feel like, obviously, we're all sat in E&I, and I've started it. I didn't think I had trauma at the time, but the shit what was going on in my life, it was definitely needed. I know that you've obviously started it due to a trauma, and I know now that some of you.
Yeah, yeah.
And I feel like, is that... Does nobody just wake up and carry love through the life from being a baby?
Yeah.
And do you know what I mean?
Well, I think society stops it as well, because I seen like a little thing on Instagram, and you know when we're always saying to our children, oh, come on, hurry up, we're going to be late, come on, get that ready for that, and we don't think we're doing anything wrong. But what we're actually doing is putting them into their nervous system, so they're already from a young age living on nerves, because they believe like, oh, I've got to do that, and it was just one simple thing, and I thought, oh my God. Obviously, we all need to be time conscious, because I'd leap code to be in the shower for an hour, but...
That's worse when you got
older. It's true, isn't it? It's like, when someone's telling you, do this constantly, you are like, oh, you get...
Living on edge.
Yeah.
I think a lot of it's, you know, where you live in the world has got huge to do with it. Your parents have got huge responsibility on that.
Cheers, Bill.
Yeah.
Come back on the side. Yeah. Come back.
But it's like Kelly said, every parent fucks the kids up.
Mm.
So if you're sitting there at home and you think you don't, you definitely have. And as soon as you realise you have, it gets a little bit easier. And then it's about then, okay, so can I just bring calmness? Can I bring it? For me, the best thing in life is presence.
Yeah.
That's it.
know what, Dan told me a really beautiful story over the weekend, and it's with Walter's birth.
Yeah.
And obviously they had a home birth with Walter, and she was saying, I remember him coming out, and because it was so calm, he just didn't cry. And she was going, what's wrong with the baby? What's wrong with the baby? He's not crying. And the midwife and a mum was saying, he's all right. He's calm.
Happy.
And they say, isn't it? It's because it's the way that they enter the world.
Yeah.
And because he comes in such a calm environment at home and in the bath, he was just content on her. But naturally, you think the worst.
Yeah.
Oh, why aren't they screaming? And
yeah.
I just found that really powerful when she was telling me in Italy.
But then when you think of it, like, you come out in hospital, there's doctors around you all in white, three or four of them. And I'm not against it, because sometimes it's needed. And I'm not against anything with the NHS or anything, but I'm saying there's time and place. So you come out with all these massive lights shining on you. That's a scary environment.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Where if you're at home, the lights are lower, you've got candles lit, you're coming out in water, everyone's calm. It's like, it sort of speaks volumes for itself.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. You choose where you're. It's same in general life, isn't it? Do you choose to go and have a coffee with somebody who's got to sit and chat nothing but negativity, or would you choose to go and do the calm side of things? And as you get older, I find that you sort of drift into... This is something I try and set to people now, and it's nothing against people who I've been friends with in the past, because there's never been a fallout or anything like that. It's just that I find I've grown, and not everyone wants to grow at the same time.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm choosing to be with this calm, more environment, because, well, for me, I'm good for you. They're all probably sat at home thinking, yeah, and it were you that I feel like that. But it's just as
this is rich coming from her.
Isn't it though? And do you know, that's another thing I find, that people who know me from way back when, I'm all right with you still thinking that I'm that old Nicola. I know I'm not, and I do believe people can change, but like, I don't know, I just feel that as I have got older, I choose to be with a more calming environment than chaos. And like an hospital, like you say, everyone's hustle bustle, ain't there?
Yeah.
Everyone's on a time scale. This needs doing, that needs doing. So that is just how everybody lives. And that's why I can't do a nursing job on a ward, because my head would fall off in that.
Next week.
I need.
But your body will naturally just want to be around that, because it's soothing.
Yeah.
It's nice to, when you're talking to someone that isn't, you know, is on the same, like, same energy as you, or just same level as you, and it's soft, your body will be like, right, where you go into something else, you go, wow, I was like that.
And then when you start to look at it, you think, oh my God, it's making me go dizzy.
Isn't,
you're like, whoa, what I find when you start doing this work, it all attracts, and you attract the same type of people that are in it.
Yeah. Who want to grow with you rather than...
Yeah, and there's also, like, you know, I know like people, a lot of people now becoming spiritual, to a certain extent, whatever that word means in essence.
So we had a conversation about this, isn't it? And I think this is where spirituality, I think it's about bringing, because we've lost community's completely gone, spirituality's become, I always say, with spirituality, the universe, it's all the same, it's just faith. We're all having faith in something, and I think if you haven't got faith in something in life, that's when you start to get lost. And I think people go to church, people come and do this kind of work. It's all faith in a community that you kind of bring yourself back to.
For me, it's all about connection.
Yeah.
Connection, because if I'm connected to here, I'm connected to whoever I'm talking to, and I'm present because I'm in here. If I'm in my heart space, then I'm connected, because everything's possible from there.
Yeah.
Yeah, we're always trying to do things around us, but not from here. Like, if you can just see another human being and a soul rather than everything else first, then you're more connected to you.
Yeah.
And that's the big one. It's like, how many times we judge or witness people and we see everything else, but we don't see the human or the suffering or the pain they're in or the soul level. We just see everything else.
Yeah.
Because we're not connected to us. So it's like, we're just trying to get connected to us. For me, that's the key. If you can connect, you know, I always say there's two parts. It's like, you can live out your head, or you can actually stop and take a breath and just connect to your body, because that's you.
Yeah.
The connection of inside and your heart is you in your gut, but your head is not. That's being put on you by you come out, you come into the world, and then you've got your mum and dad's opinions, views, then you're watching the TV, the telly, then you're watching movies, then your auntie and uncle, then your teachers. Everyone's putting their views into your head.
Mm.
So it's like, if I give you a laptop now and it's brand new and there's no history on it, and then I say, take it away. When I come back, it's got all the history that you've put into it. That's you as a baby. You come into this world with none of them stuff, but then you get put on it all externally by everyone else. And then you live your life through that, of like, you can't do that, or you shouldn't do that, or don't act like that. But in here, you were like, no, I don't think that's right. But because like your auntie and uncle or your mum and dad told you, you had to believe that.
Yeah.
And it's not, because you felt it in here. You felt that wasn't right. How many things have we done in our life that we felt it wasn't okay, but we still done it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that's the thing. So now, that's what I always say, is that out your heart or your head?
Do you know what I love about that as well, Dave? Because it's true. You know, when you're not connected to yourself and you're not conscious, what you do then is you'll go through life taking from someone else selfishly what you need rather than sitting there and seeing them. You're like, well, I feel like this, so I'm going to take that from you. And you just kind of just go through very narcissistic.
You're just playing snakes and ladders, but with people.
Yeah.
So we're just trying to go up ladders and throw them 5 steps behind us on the way, because we're in our head.
Yeah.
And everything is in here for us. Mm-hmm. Like, you've gone through so many doors that were never meant to you because they were in your head and not in your heart. Yeah. But if you'd have been connected to your heart, you'd have never gone through that door or gone into that relationship or gone into that shop because it was all your head.
Yeah.
But if you'd have been connected to you, you'd have gone, nah, it's not for me, that.
Because you'd have felt it. That's when life gives you what's meant for you then, you'd have isn't felt it?
It's scary when you...
Isn't it? I'm like...
She's just looking at me going...
I've got to listen to this podcast about 500 times and put all another 500 views on.
Yeah, but it's just like that one. How many doors have you gone through that weren't your doors to go through?
I know.
It's so powerful though, isn't it? You know, when you start to sit back and you think, life actually isn't hard if you just listen to your heart.
Life is happening for you.
Yeah.
Flowing.
But it's all about getting it in flow with you.
Yeah.
In flow, you know, so... You know, just connecting. You can just, you don't even have to meditate. You don't have to do all that stuff. It's the great tools to get into your body. But once you start getting into your body, you can just create that stillness and be in there.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? And it just takes a couple of breaths or a couple of just stillness. It's, you know, but we've been conditioned in so many different ways that it's tough.
Yeah.
And sometimes, unfortunately, like you said, sometimes you have to go through a load of shit to go, I don't want this, where... If we come into the world that way, like, so for me, like you were saying about Walter's a dream because he's come into the world like that. So you see the way he shows up. He's so soft, so calm. And I beat myself up over this with my other kids, but they're not like Walter because I wasn't like the way I am now, the way when Walter was born. Yeah,
he's so self-soothing. He's just like you say, calm.
Yeah, and like if someone said to me, because I was thinking, what are they going to ask me? And then I was thinking, well, what come into me is what's my greatest thing that I've ever done is to be the person I am right now.
Yeah.
Because that, like loads of people will say they're kids and this, but if I'm not being the best person in me, then my kids are already lost.
Yeah.
But you see so many people, mums and dads, and I've done it myself, I say, I'd die for my kids, but you're not willing to be a better person for them.
Mm.
But you'll die for them. So, but they're here and now, you're not really willing to change or ready to meet anything, but you'll die for them.
Yeah.
It's like, it's difficult. I get it. Because I was the same as well. I was really in that place for a long time. And I always wanted to be in that rat race to be successful. And I always put my kids behind me. But I always use the analogy as like, what's the most important thing in your life? And people say, my kids. And I go, well, it should be you first.
Yeah.
Because if you're not putting yourself first, then your kids have already lost a percentage of you.
Yeah.
So they're already...
That's so, like, powerful, isn't it, when you think about it?
Yeah, so it's like, I'm putting my kids... But they've lost something straight away because what about you?
And I find it so hard, and that's probably something that so many people listen and think, I know, but, like, I don't do it... I'm probably guilty of it myself, as I don't give myself you time.
Mm-hmm.
Or I have been trying. Like, I just feel that when I'm with the kids... it's got my mum. And like, you don't get enough you time. So then, I don't know, I just find that's quite to sort of balance with balance. Like when you've got kids, isn't it, to be the best version of yourself as well as be the best mum. Because I know that's still you, but it, what I would do with just me and what I do with my kids is completely different.
I think if you're the best person of you anyway, you are being the best mum.
Yeah.
But so it's also if you go into, if you're doing that stuff from your heart space and not your head, then it's never in doubt because it's from your heart.
Yeah.
And it's like people say, what if I'm doing this, why can't my wife do it or someone else? And it's like, well, no, because if you do it, they'll feel it anyway. That's the greatest thing. Don't wait for someone else to do it, because as long as you're doing you, that'll have a ripple effect. Kelly always says, that will affect your kids without them doing anything.
Yeah.
And that's like a perfect thing. It's like, wait, this. But then if you soften into your body, it's like,
Was it naturally attracted Dan, didn't it?
Yeah, that thing then goes, because you're only in that balance because of your head. Where if you connect to your body, then it just becomes presence and being there on a level of like, I'm just here for you without anything else. And you just feel it and everything changes. But yeah, like Dan started doing, I'm not doing that. She was like, I'm not doing none of that. I was like, okay. But at first I was like, no, you need to do it. You need to do it. But people, if you do you, you'll, people like you're doing you now, and then people around you will be like, okay, so what's Nicky doing? Do you know what I mean?
Why is she looking so good? Why is she shining so bright?
And look at the work you've done over the last 6 months. Yeah. It's like, look at the person you are now to 6 months ago.
I couldn't not do this work now, because I know when I'm ready for that mat, I'm like, oh, I'm just like, it's like me non-negotiable now. I'm like, okay, I need on that mat. Because otherwise I just feel... It's funny because, again, when you sit in your head, isn't it? Because I said to Cody last week, I said... me and you do something, because like I feel like I'm not your cool mum no more, we don't do anything, should we start doing like ski lessons together? And he was like, I'd see him sat there, I don't know where he's watched these, he's probably just seen him. I've had my phone, and I said, well, he said, oh mum, he said, look, I do football on box and I don't want to go skiing. I thought, oh, thanks lads. And then I went to him, well, mummy just doesn't feel cool no more. And do you know what his response was? Mummy, you just keep doing your interviews. And I nearly started sobbing, and I thought, I'm in my own head, but what he's just saying is, you do you, because that's what he said,
that's you,
because that is cool, he said. And I just thought, oh.
But you're in your head trying to be cool for him. Again, you're in your head. When you're in your heart, you just want to be there for them. And anyway, cool doesn't matter.
That's it.
You get me? It doesn't matter being cool or them having the best things. When you're in your heart, all that matters is that they feel loved and held and seen.
Yeah.
It's like, if I said to you, what did you get for your 12th birthday Christmas present? You wouldn't remember. But if you went somewhere with your mum and dad at that time and had a nice experience, you'd remember that forever.
Yeah.
But the materialistic part of that is you don't remember, because it means nothing.
I've changed that actually the last couple of years. That's been something I've done, because before my business, and I didn't really have any money, I always wanted my kids to have the best of everything, because all other kids around them had it.
Yeah.
So then when I got into my business and, you know, your different financial position sort of thing, I offloaded. They could have what they wanted. I was buying all kinds. Christmas was ridiculous.
Yeah.
And it's only since now I look back and I think, you're stupid, Kai. The amount of money you wasted that Christmas. And I remember it clear as day. Bearing in mind that I had three kids, they all had one of everything. But we're buying it three times over.
Yeah.
My little lad at the time was only about five. Like, it didn't even understand, but I thought, I can't leave him out. And now I think, I don't give like I used to. Not because they can't have it, because I want them to understand that it's not about material and thinking that you have to be fitting in with someone else, and because they've got it, you've got to have it. Like I said on my other episode, I've given my little girl a book for read, and I can tell with that she's just reading it and she's shifted loads and what she's doing from that. And if somebody could have given me that gift then, like, give it your kids.
It's priceless, isn't it?
And like you said, if we're doing us, it'll rub off on them anyway.
Yeah.
But I think just for them to have a little bit of like time for them, like I don't know, maybe to understand it more instead of listening me keep chipping on a song. Yeah. Oh, you know, you don't need shy. Oh, you don't need shy. I'm like, if you read that book, it sort of tells you them things anyway. I mean, Frankie is a bit older. She's nearly 15, so she's old enough to read a full book.
Mm.
But when they're little, it obviously, if we're in us, then they're them and
they're feeling it, absolutely.
It's just a ripple effect. It's like when you throw a stone in that lake and it just ripples. If you're that stone, everything around you will feel that ripple. It's like we go on about that lighthouse. Yeah. If you're your lighthouse, then people will see you and you'll actually draw them the attention to them and make them.
Powerful that.
Yeah.
So powerful that story.
Yeah.
And you kind of take it away.
Yeah, it is, yeah. And it's just about, it starts with one.
Yeah.
You know, it starts with one person and you can change, like, that's what we're doing here. We started with, like, obviously what happened with Liam.
Yeah.
And then then built this place on the back of it. And now it's like, even on Wednesday night, I was in Breathwork and I was just obviously taking the Breathwork and my mum was on the mat for the first time and she was sobbing. And I just remember looking up at the logo and his plaque and just thinking, wow. Do you know what I mean?
Sorry.
It's like, wow. Because it's full circle. It's like what we've gone through is now. Like, and it took me a while to get to this point with my mum, but obviously now I'm helping my mum.
It's incredible.
Do you know what I mean? So it's like, and that's just for my family, and that's like for Dan and me, and it made, like, that experience, it made me, I wanted to come away from that. This is why I say about Dan is, like, I've just hit new levels of love and respect for Dan that I never had, because, like, what she done for me, like, she's getting me out the shower. I just didn't want to get out the shower. I was just lying on the floor. I didn't want to get out, and she was there.
I mean, you're coming up to 20 years. I know Dan's hoping to renew the vows. Yeah. So you'll be back on there now
everything. I'll have a caravan. I shouldn't have told her.
But I feel like even for Dan, I feel like that's even brought Dan into a power as well, because obviously I've done a few little trips with Dan where it's like she probably wouldn't have done them little trips, and now she loves them, doesn't she? She literally, honestly... her family's everything to her, and she's just kind of, she's sparkling.
Because she's not in pain.
Yeah.
And it's like, the biggest thing is hurt people hurt other people.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? And like, she was just in a place where she was never free herself. Yeah. If I'm not free, she wasn't free. And then it's like, wow. It's like, you're trying to have relationships with people in every aspect where you're not open and honest. And if you can't do them basic things, even in friendship or when you meet someone and you can't be open and honest, it's the hardest thing to do, but it takes time and you get better at it. But like the chat we had last week, if you can't be open and honest with like people you care about or people you meet and they take it the wrong way, that's okay. But that's for them to take it that way.
Yeah.
But if as long as it's coming from a place of love and it's like we said, protein, it's like that's what we should be doing. We should be community. We should be helping each other. But instead, we're trying to do that snakes and ladders, aren't we, all the time?
Yeah. I think it's because, again, with social media coming now, it puts so much more pressure on people. People are unhappy in places, so they then kind of venture out elsewhere, and it's just the pressures of thinking that you've got to look a certain way. And
well, I've read this quote, and this will be amazing for what you've just said. A quote from Eckhart Tolle. Those who have not found their true wealth, which is the radiant joy of being, and the deep, unshakable peace that comes with it, are beggars. Even if they have great material wealth, they are looking outside for scraps of pleasure, fulfillment, for validation, security, or love, while they have a treasure within that not only includes all of those things, but is infinitely greater than anything the world can offer.
Wow. Powerful, isn't it? It's true.
Everything's on the inside.
When you think
your treasure's on the inside, and then you'll attract everything that was your way anyway.
Yeah. Leaving it on that, because I need to circle up, because that's just a gorgeous way to end the podcast. Let's talk about revival if people feel intimidated to come, because it's one of the most safest, calmest environments, that doors always open. I think that's what we need to really realise. This isn't your average gym. This is kind of somewhere where you can really come to yourself.
Yeah, for me, the greatest thing about here, the way it's being designed, is
you don't have to come in and do a breath work. Yeah. You don't have to come in and do an ice bath. Just come and have a coffee.
Yeah.
And feel this. You'll feel it as soon as you come in here.
Yeah.
That you're allowed to be and feel right as you are in that moment. Whether that's anger, love, hate, sadness, or just showing up plain, old, normal, simple, whatever yeah. that looks like. So just come in and have a coffee and feel that it's different.
Yeah, because you feel it straight away, yeah. don't you? The minute yeah. you come in, you go, wow, what's this energy yeah. that's in here?
And then we have people who come in and use the ice bath and sauna room. Yeah. And like the ice bath's amazing, like you just felt it before.
I was waiting. I thought, that's getting right up on here because I've not just done 3 minutes of that and not being rewarded for it.
3 minutes, though? Three I can't minutes. Believe we did 3 minutes.
Yeah. I know.
It's the power of connecting to yeah. you.
And then you just didn't feel cold. No. You were just like, whoa, what is... You feel on top of the world after
it's
it, don't
just
you?
Like, it just makes you feel alive. But the biggest thing for me, on another level, it moves stuff
yeah.
as well. So we've had men who come in and just do the ice bath, and then after like a couple of months, then they start coming in that room and doing yeah. breath work, because then they know, okay, if like Andy works here, Andy yeah. who runs it, me, they'll come in and we go, you're okay. And it, you just like, yeah, yeah. But it's like, who asks you?
Yeah.
You're okay. Who gives you that presence? And that's it, comes back to the presence.
And that's it, isn't it? It's down to, I remember someone always saying to me, are you happy?
Mm.
When they asked me, I went, whoa, a simple question, but so hard when someone asks you it. It's literally how you answer it.
Yeah.
Truthfully.
Yeah.
Mm. And like you say, just someone like you say, someone just saying, are you okay?
Yeah.
No one says it no more. Yeah. Everyone's just like, woof, woof, yeah. woof in their own lane,
too
aren't
busy.
They?
And, yeah. and what is happy?
Yeah.
What is okay? But when you're connected, you know that. Yeah. You feel content and you feel happy, and if you feel it, it's yours.
Yeah.
But if you're looking for it.
So can I ask you something before we shut down? Because this is a question I get asked. Before we yeah. turn the cameras off. So I've read loads of books and I've listened to all kinds and I've done online work and whatever else. And there's a question that every time it's asked to me, I just cry.
Mm.
And I think, I don't even know how to answer it. And I'd still get upset now. But when you're asked, who are you? How, like, I don't know who I am, I don't think.
Wow.
So, I am Nick. And I'm a mum of four. And I've got my business. And I'm a nurse. And I'm this. And I'm that. And I find it so hard to go beyond.
It's okay.
No, I don't want you again. But I find it so hard to go beyond that. And what do they mean by who are you? What is you? Does that make sense?
Yeah, yeah.
Like, I'm obviously walking about and I'm like, yeah, I'm positive on this and I'll do that. And but this one question gets me every time. Mm-hmm. And I think, I don't actually know who I am.
Mm-hmm.
But am I meant to know who I am? Like, what does it mean that for me to work on as a person going forward now? Like, that is something I want to learn. I want to know who I am.
Yeah.
So if there is anybody else out there that it was asked that question of who are you, mm-hmm. you're not your name, you're not your job, mm-hmm. you're not your mum, you're not being a mum. Like, is there any little tips you can give to people to find out who they really are? I'm gonna put you on spot there by asking you that.
No. It's just
that cut.
No, it's just more like a beautiful thing to witness.
Mm.
To even ask that question and bring that emotion to the surface. It's like, would it be okay not to know who you are right now?
That's what I mean. Am I all right being not knowing? I feel all right. It's just that when I get asked the question, every time I cry because I think, I actually don't know who I am. Am I just getting through life on, like, fight or flat like I have done for all these years, and now I've been able to sit back and sort of work on myself and slow down, and I think, I actually don't know who I am.
But you just close your eyes.
No.
Yeah, just close your eyes. And just a couple of breaths in through the nose and just soften everything down a sec. And just really connect to that centre. And if you're just bringing that question to your awareness again of who am I, while connecting to your breath, connecting to your heart, if that's a possibility, you know.
I just cry.
And that's okay. And it's like, can we be okay right now not knowing who we are right now? Because...
yeah, I'm fine with it. I just think, should I know that? Because it's a question I hear being asked a lot. And if I don't know, then how can I know?
Yeah, and I think it's a gift that you're even asking that question, because people go through their whole life and never ask that question out loud. They always, and there's a lot of work to do around that for you, definitely, on a one-to-one basis. But it's like an amazing thing to actually bring to the surface and allow yourself that emotion come straight away, so the connection's there with your body. Is like, oh, who am I?
I know. I ask it every day to myself. No, I obviously not out loud.
Yeah.
I just ask it in my head or wherever, if I'm driving or whatever. But I feel like I just cry. Mm-hmm. So it is something that, and it's normal, guys, if anybody else is feeling like this. Yeah. Well, what you class as normal. Yeah. There's so many people out there, though, if there was actually, not that people get asked the question a lot, is it? But if there was doing this sort of work, it is, I find it comes up in a lot of books and audios, and that's where I've sort of become familiar with it.
Yeah. So I think for me, that question is, who am I, is when you just do things from the heart.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not something that you have to think about, should I do this, shouldn't I do that? It's a feeling that you just go, that's right for me. And you bring it from here is when you know, okay, that's who I am. I don't think it's actually a sentence that you write down. I think it's a feeling.
Yeah, because if I was to say it, so she'll go like, so who are you then? And you'll answer the question, because it's been in Untethered Soul. Yeah. Is it Untethered Soul that it's in that or the other? I'm reading both at the minute.
Yeah.
And for me to say it out loud, there's nothing to say.
Yeah.
So if it's just a feeling and I know that, if that's the case, then I can work with that instead. I'm thinking that I need to be saying, I am.
But then listen to what you've just said.
Yeah.
I'm thinking.
Do you know what I mean? So that's what I feel that it is.
Yeah, so it's a thought.
And you're becoming the object.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Do you get what I mean? Remember, this is just a vessel.
So even though they're asking me the question, I don't actually have to answer it out loud.
Not when it lands. When we do work around that situation and it lands, you'll go, there I am. Rather than, you're trying to think of a certain way you need to be.
Yeah.
Who am I? Well, who do I think I need to be? Like what you said is, I'm trying to think and straight away, that's where it's like, it's
I'm trying to describe myself somebody.
Yeah.
If they was to ask me, I feel like I have to describe myself.
Yeah.
And there's just nothing to describe.
Yeah.
But I think if you're living from
just,
your heart.
It's there, but we just got to get to it. Got to open it,
because
it's all in here, and you'll know as soon as you know, you'll know. And that's why Kelly, with the somatic inquiry that we're learning at the moment, is like huge. Just again, getting out of here and into here more will just open that up.
And that lands all down my face.
No,
because I remember starting breath work myself, and I remember doing a really big one with you on the mat. I think it was after the panic attack, and I went straight to my mum's grave the next morning, because I knew her more after doing breath work than beforehand. And everything just connected. And I was like, wow, I judged you on a situation that wasn't you, because like we said about your mum, they were in pain.
Yeah.
After I kind of started doing this inquiry, I was like, oh, put yourself there. Could I have done that?
Compassion,
Yeah. And I drove straight to my mum's grave and I lay there and I just apologised to her. It was just like, again, story had made up in my head. You shouldn't have done this to me. You shouldn't have done that. Quite frankly, I didn't understand it.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the difference.
Yeah.
So you do this work and you have that feeling, you go, whoa.
Yeah.
And it's
it's connection. Like for me, like I feel like I'm closer to my brother now than I was when he was alive.
Mm,
and that's all through connection. And how scary, how crazy is that? But I know he's in here. And I'm accessing that every single day. So I know he's here and he's next to me all the time. And everything that I do, I'm with him.
Yeah.
He's with me. But it's just getting that connection.
And you know what I love about that? You know, when we were saying, what is spirituality? What is breath work? Like we say, for me, it's very similar to you. Your faith is your brother. You know, my faith is now my mum. Like, whatever God is up there, okay, it is, but now my mum's up there, so that becomes your guidance.
Yeah.
With it, and again, because it comes back to that feeling.
But it's, the more you're connected, the stronger it is. And the easier it is to to really bring it in, to really bring it closer. And, you know, it's amazing to show what you've just shown.
Yeah.
And
I didn't plan for that. I try and say it every day without crying. It's become a thing that I think, right, I'll try again today. Can't do it.
But I think it's because you're dropping into your heart space as well. So because you're dropping now into your body, you're allowing the emotions to come without your head going, hang on a minute.
Get what I mean. You shouldn't cry.
But as well, you said nothing's coming up since that workshop.
I know.
Well, guess what, sister?
Yeah, I think it's time to get back on the mat.
Yeah, do you know what I mean? Because that was happening before the workshop.
The you thing, yeah, I'd say that's probably been for 2 years now.
Yeah, yeah.
That it's just been when it's been brought up in a book or something, and you think, oh, I don't actually know what they're asking me that for. But a lot of time you bypass it, bat it off, don't you? It's not really relevant. I don't actually care who I am. I'm just cracking on.
Yeah, yeah.
But then it's the more you do it and the more you become it. No, I want to change. I want to know.
Becoming conscious, aren't you?
The more you're consciously connected. That's why the breath work we do is called conscious connected breath work, because it's making you conscious, then you're connected, and then everything can evolve from there.
Perfect. Well done. I feel like, because it's been such a good podcast, let's not do our...
No, we're not whining.
Because I feel like we're not whining because we've been good. But Dave, tell our listeners, like, if they wanted to come to any classes, like Breathworks now Monday.
Monday evening, yeah. Sound baths are Wednesday, Friday. Mm-hmm. Come in any day for a coffee, Monday to Saturday.
Yeah.
Ice baths, sauna room. And just come in and feel.
Yeah.
Just feel. Yeah. Revival is... The motto of Revival, even before it was here, was... Revival, a place to reveal where you're not free.
Wow.
In any way that may look.
Yeah. That's incredible.
Amazing.
David, thank you so much. Because I know you're going to really inspire a lot of people. And honestly, it's been great having you on. So thank you.
It's been amazing. Thank you.
Thank you.